This is Book Public from Texas Public Radio. I'm Yvette Benavides. On this episode, I talk to Lucas Schaefer about his novel, The Slip. The Slip has a cast of characters that is a very varied ensemble. At the heart of this group is Nathaniel Rothstein. In 1998, Nathaniel is a 16-year-old boy living in Newton, Massachusetts with his mother. But he runs into trouble and is sent to live in Austin with his Uncle Bob, a history professor at the University of Texas, who likes to smoke weed and hang out at a boxing gym, with a lot of other characters that we come to know all about. Nathaniel is lost. He's a Jewish kid. His mother loves him. His uncle looks out for him. But he's lost. He's trying to find his way in the world. David DeLeese is a Haitian immigrant who works in a nursing home. He's another person who is a fixture at the boxing gym. He's charismatic and someone who Nathaniel comes to admire and emulate. Nathaniel starts talking to a girl named Sasha on a 900 phone sex hotline. At the gym, there are doctors, cops, janitors, lawyers, nurses, day laborers, and amateur fighters sparring and trying to get through life. There are twins, and there's a coyote. The novel opens over a decade after Nathaniel goes missing. Uncle Bob has received a tip that restarts the investigation alongside these aforementioned twins. One of them is down on his luck, and one of them is opportunistic. There's a rookie cop. There's an aspiring prize fighter who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border when he was 14 years old. There's a teen who goes by the name X, who's trying to figure out his life, too. This is a story about identity, gender, family, friends, community. It's a novel about race and place. It's an Austin story, a Texas one, one that, while it spans a very particular time, is a story for right now. It's a book about how all of us want to belong and maybe can belong right now, right where we are. I spoke to author Lucas Schaefer about his debut novel, The Slip. Let's start with your summary and your sort of elevator pitch of this book.
Sure. So my novel, The Slip, is about a very hapless, miserable 16-year-old high school student named Nathaniel Rothstein from Newton, Massachusetts. And one day, Nathaniel just sort of loses it, gets into a fight at school. And his mother, as punishment and because she doesn't really want to deal with him, sends him for the summer of 1998 to live with his Uncle Bob in Austin. And Uncle Bob is this sort of ornery, hippie-ish UT professor, and he also doesn't know what to do with Nathaniel. So he sets him up with a volunteer position at a nursing home with one of Bob's friends, David DeLeese, who is an immigrant from Haiti. He's lived in Texas for about 30 years. He's a big, brash, sort of over-the-top personality, and he's an ex-boxer. And David takes Nathaniel under his wing and starts bringing him to the boxing gym, Terry Tucker's boxing gym. And over the course of this summer, Nathaniel and David have this kind of magical time, and Nathaniel really starts to come into his own and figure out who he is and feel more comfortable in his body. And at the end of the summer, he disappears, never to be seen or heard from again. And the novel follows a giant cast of characters over about 14 years as we find out what happened to Nathaniel Rothstein.
Just that summer, I mean, it takes my breath away a little bit, even though I've already read the book, all of these corners that we turn and all of these people that we meet. I've heard this book described as epic and big and other words to that effect, and that it took a long time, 10, 12 years for you to write this book. I would love to know, what was that first inkling you had about this story? The first maybe tiny little thing that you latched onto, and then how you kept building. I mean, I just love to know the backstory and your process. How did this come to be?
Yeah. So when I first moved to Austin, I was 24 years old in 2006, and I didn't know anyone. And I saw an ad for an evening class at Lord's Boxing Gym on North Lamar Boulevard, which is still there and is an Austin institution. And I had no experience with boxing, but I wanted to give it a shot. And I ended up working out there very consistently for about 5 years. And one of the things I really loved most about Lourdes is that everyone was there. Every race, every gender, every age, every profession. There were professional boxers. There were people like me who had no idea what we were doing. There were people who'd been in Austin their whole lives. There were recent immigrants from Mexico, the Caribbean. And then there were complete newcomers like myself. And there aren't that many spaces in Austin, in Texas, in America, where those lines that typically divide us, racial lines, sexual lines, geographic lines, are, you know, start to melt away. And so I was really intrigued by the opportunities and tensions that arise when all of these different types of people are thrust together. And so when I started to write a novel, I knew that the boxing gym was the place where I wanted to start. And obviously, the book is fiction. The characters would not be recognizable to people from the gym. But I did try to maintain kind of the spirit that I felt going to the gym and the exhilaration and the drama and all of the things that can happen when people who aren't normally together kind of get together. And so that was sort of the basis. I started working with the gym as a character and thinking about all of the different people who would be going to this fictional Terry Tucker's boxing gym. And that kind of got me going.
This Nathaniel Rothstein, he's from Newton, yes. Massachusetts, as you are. And he's Jewish, like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about this idea that you were new to Austin at that time, and he's new to Austin. And he goes through this terrible dramatic thing, and his mother sends him to Austin, Texas. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we've all put our Walkman in the waistband of our shorts at one time or another, the way he does in on one page of the story. I love that detail. So the details in this book are really something. And it really goes to this idea that the more specific the detail, the more universally appreciated it can be. But anyway, how much of Nathaniel is Lucas. So he's Jewish, he's from Massachusetts. And so I'm wondering about that. And or were you trying to do it, or was it just sort of something that happened? How did that work?
So Nathaniel demographically is the most similar to me of all of the characters in this book. And there are, you know, characters who go all across racial lines, class lines, etc. He is on the stage crew. I, when I was in high school, was on the stage, so I was a much more outgoing kid. I was not nearly as miserable as he was. I had a pretty fun high school experience. But part of the reason I set the book in Newton is, and this does not give anything away about the mystery, but over the course of this summer, Nathaniel really becomes obsessed with David, his mentor, who's this immigrant from Haiti, who's been in Austin about 30 years. And he starts to dress a little bit like David. He starts to talk a little bit like David. And at some point, he starts to attempt to darken his skin to look more like David for reasons that are sort of revealed through the first part of the book. And because I was interested in this Nathaniel's sort of racial attitudes and the way he both aspires to be like David, but also has some internalized racism, or not internalized, but some is both aspiring to be like David and also is a little bit racist, right? I was really interested in that contradiction. And because I was dealing with race and a sensitive issue and a provocative way of dealing with it, I really wanted to get the details about how Nathaniel would view race correctly, sort of his high school context and what his social circle would be like and how that social circle would think about race. And so to me, I had to set it somewhere I was super familiar with because I needed to get that context correct. And Newton, Massachusetts is where I grew up. I could imagine Nathaniel in the hallways of Newton South High School, which is where both of us went to high school. And so that was sort of the purpose of setting him in this place that I'm from.
I think about David's character, and such a richly drawn character. And he's somebody who's, even though he's well established in Austin, by the time we get to know him in this book, you know, he's a displaced person too, in the same way that Nathaniel is in so many ways. You know, I grew up in a time And really, I was also a teacher of young people at different times when kids who were white and even Hispanic kids saw blackness as a wholly aspirational thing. When my students had an affinity for Michael Jordan and other athletes and celebrities, and then of course someone like Tupac, my students have sort of educated me about various artists and athletes. So I sort of look at the way Nathaniel wants to emulate David, but David is not a famous celebrity or, this tremendous athlete. But what David has is something else. I mean, he's just his own person. He's very charismatic. He seems very self-assured. And he's been through some stuff. But he still sort of comes through as somebody who's very strong and just somebody who figures things out and is a kind of a leader, is a mentor. So I just found that dynamic so interesting. I mean, David is somebody who doesn't mince words about, sort of guy talk and this kind of thing. But at the same time, he just seemed like somebody just so very interesting. And obviously somebody that a young kid like Nathaniel would be drawn to. So this relationship I found so interesting. But I wanted to ask you a question about this idea about, did you anticipate this sort of thing, this sort of pushback about appropriation or some of these other, the American dirt problem? Or do you find instead that maybe you've, and this is something I believe, that you've hit on a way of telling the story that sort of dodges that? And I would add that for me, it's a storytelling, that we've had. And when it's done carefully and with respect, a writer can write sort of outside their experience. This is not a new thing. I mean, this is kind of something we can hearken back to, that when it's done respectfully and with an awareness, it is something that actually contributes to the discourse about identity and difference. So I wonder if you've come up against that so far.
Yeah, I love that question. Thank you so much, Yvette. I have not had a huge amount of pushback, to be honest. And I think part of the reason is I wrote this book with a lot of intention and a lot of purpose. There's not a word in 500 pages that I did not mean to use. One of my writing mentors is Alexander Chi, the wonderful nonfiction and fiction writer. And he's written a bit about this issue. And one thing he says that I really like, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, is it's not so much about who can write what, because of course we are all free to write whatever we want, but why we are doing it. And in the case of this book, the central theme of this book, right, is how do we all live together? Is it possible for all of us to live together? How do we see ourselves in each other? Like, these are the big themes percolating through the novel. And so it wouldn't be possible for any writer of any group to write this book and only write from their perspective, right? Because the theme of the book is identity and how all of these different identities work together. And so because I had that intention, I think it was more about writing with purpose and then being really thoughtful about how I portrayed these characters. So one of the rules I had for myself going in was that I wanted all of these characters to be singular characters. So David is not meant to represent every immigrant from Haiti. Nathaniel is not every Jewish teenager. They had to have their own wants and desires and fears and anxieties, all of that. At the same time, these are characters who are living in the world we actually live in, right? And so I think sometimes the problem a writer can run into is when they have a diverse cast of characters, but they aren't dealing with the realities of the constraints and the opportunities that arise for people because of their different backgrounds, right? And so I wanted these singular characters, but I also wanted to lean into the reality of what would it be like to come to Austin, Texas from Haiti when you're 20 years old and have to figure out how to live and how to survive. What does that look like? You know, what would it feel like for each of these characters based on both who they are singularly and who they are as their identities?
Yeah, I really appreciate what Alexander Chi says. I hadn't really considered it in that way. But I want to ask you, too, about writing 1998. Was it fun to write 1998? Was there anything kind of limiting about it? I was thinking about how Nathaniel researches, not on the phone, but in an encyclopedia, and of course other things too, other details too in the book. I feel there's something very freeing somehow, weirdly, by not having a cell phone and the internet be the key to the universe all over the place, and that characters can instead depend on their wits and each other or other means for, you know, life's little answers to bigger questions, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure. So this book at its heart is a mystery. And there was something so fun about setting a mystery in 1998. I have a line in the book that's something along the lines of, you know, if you disappeared before the year 2000, you could really disappear, right? Yeah. Because we just left so much less of a digital footprint. And it was, you know, easier to just kind of go on your way. So for the purposes of writing a mystery, it was a lot of fun to think about how to build the mystery without all of the digital things and all of the technology we use today, if that makes sense. And then, I mean, I think the other thing about 1998 is that this is a book that is about so many issues that we're dealing with today. It's about the police, it's about race, it's about immigration. And I think it's really hard sometimes to write fiction about those issues in a 2025 setting because, you know, the discourse is so much in our minds and what's happening now is so much in our minds. It can be hard to get into that imaginative space you need for a novel. And so setting the book in 1998, I think, allowed me to really think about the issues facing us today, but from that, you know, 25, 30 year remove. I have laughed that I have seen this book characterized as historical fiction, which seems a little bit cruel to those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, but in a way it is history.
That's so interesting. I was going to ask you about that. It's a mystery, and yet, right, this book is just so many things, and I think it's very hard to categorize it, you know, in that sort of easy way. When you start to catalog all of the subjects here, it can feel like, as you said, a novel of right now about gender, about immigration and race, to name, like, just a very few things, of very few things that are very timely, very weighty topics that we see from 1998 right on through 2014. And reading it today in 2025, I'm just shaking my head and saying, you know what, that's right. These things have been sort of simmering or roiling all of the time in all of that time. And of course, in 2024, 2025, most definitely and explosively, here we are. So this is very much a novel, I still feel like, of today. I mean, frankly, the plot lines that have to do with immigration, for example, reading those in recent weeks, and frankly, thinking about them even just today, I just find, like, and this is what literature can do, I think, that a story, granted, you've been writing this over 12 years or so, but a book that's set in a very particular time and space is still telling a very true story about today. I think this is what really good literature can do. Not so much that you could possibly see into the future 10, 12 years ago, but there's just something here in this book that was about then that we can see is still very much about the now. You know, and this is kind of true, I think, about even Austin in a way. No. I lived in Austin for a time. I went to UT. I was an undergrad there. And then I went to grad school there. I got my master's degree there. And I have to say that the idea, I'm just going to say this, I'll share this with you, of a coyote in the opening pages of this novel completely hooked me. I know some people have like a very complicated relationship with coyotes, but in some very real ways for me, they're kind of, I don't know, emblematic or something of Austin. So I wonder if you can talk to a very particular kind of Austin. Talk to me about Austin, your Austin, Texas. I don't know. I have heard this book described as a Texas book, an Austin book. And I see that as a very particular kind of story, one that I love. So, but I wonder if you can talk about Austin.
Yeah, I mean, one of the themes of this book, or one of the things that happens in this book, is that a lot of characters change in very big ways. And so Austin seemed like the perfect setting to me for the book, because Austin is this place that's kind of always changing and kind of never changing. You know, I moved here in 2006. The entire time I've lived here, there have been people complaining about a changing Austin. No one ever takes any responsibility and says, you know, oh, I might be part of the change. Right? And so, you know, this sort of ever-transforming city just seemed like the perfect setting to me. And then the other thing is, you know, when you see Austin in the media, I think, particularly the national media outside of Texas, you know, there's sort of the dazed and confused Austin, and there's the tech bro Austin. And those are all Austins that I think are very real in the past and now. But I think what I learned going to the boxing gym and just being part of this city for 20 years is that Austin's so much broader than those sort of stereotypes. And so I really wanted to go all across the city and see all different kinds of Austinites. You know, one of my favorite books is White Teeth by Zadie Smith. And I love novels like that, where you're just going all across a community into every nook and cranny and finding out how all of these people's lives intersect with each other. And so I really wanted to do that for my own city.
Oh, I love that. Well, look, by all accounts already, this book has arrived to tremendous buzz. What is that like to be a debut novelist with this kind of attention? How do you find a balance in your life and work through all this? And I'm sure you're working, you're writing and doing other things. And I know you're a father. How do you do this? How have you received all of this fantastic attention?
So having an eight-month-old definitely helps, because there's a lot of just practical things that have to happen to get him through the day. But, you know, it's been really fun is what I can say about this. And, you know, when you take 12 years to write a book, I spent a lot of time feeling like, oh, I'm so behind. I had friends who were publishing books much sooner than I did. You know, this one took a long time. And I've really come to a place of appreciating taking that time, because I think what I can say about this book is, whether you like it or you don't, and I hope you do, it's the book I wanted to write. You know, when I sat down with these characters 12 years ago, I didn't know how it would all shake out, but I knew I had something to say about identity and about how we can and can't live together, and exploring that theme. There's not an answer to those questions in this book, but those are the big themes that we explore. And I knew I wanted to talk about that, and I feel like I was true to that vision. And so it's been really, really fun and gratifying to be able to share the book with people and to have people responding to it.
I think when you're true to your vision and you write the book that you know you want to write, regardless of how long it takes, something really great will come of that. I can really see that in this book on these pages. Lucas Schaefer, thank you so much for talking to me today. What a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Thank you for having me, Yvette. This was fun.
The Slip is a novel by Lucas Schaefer. It's published by Simon & Schuster. This has been Book Public from Texas Public Radio. Write to us at bookpublic@tpr.org. Jacob Rosati composed our theme music. Dan Katz is Texas Public Radio's news director. I'm Yvette Benavides.